the third episode of Mulder, It's Us, an X-Files podcast with Candy and Jen. I'm Jen, joined again by the lovely Candy.
Hey.
Hey. So tonight we're talking about episode 3, Mulder and Scully Meet the Were-Monster. Candy?
So good.
What'd you think?
From the title on.
Yes.
So, so fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I feel really good about it. I have many, many happy things to say.
Oh, good. Good. You want to just jump right in?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, let's jump right in. I kind of want to start with Scully. I think she looks amazing. There's obvious, that's a new wig. I don't care what anybody says, that is the new wig.
It's so funny, I guess I didn't notice, first of all, I didn't know that she wore a wig.
So I have that.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
No, yeah, I had seen something about it, so I knew it was happening. And the first... Well, she's blonde, and mm-hmm. she's filming other things yeah. with her natural hair, so I knew she didn't dye it.
Right.
But the first wig was kind of like just too light and kind of the wrong color, which is maybe one of the reasons I felt like it made her look older than she is. But this completely, she looks amazing. She smiled a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Her hair looked great.
Oh, yeah.
As did her boobies in that fantastic scene.
Oh, my God.
She looked amazing from head to toe, which is the Gillian Anderson / Scully I am used to. She looked fantastic.
Yes.
How do you feel about Mulder? I thought he looked real good.
I thought, you know what the thing is? It's like their energy's back and their comfort level is back. And yes, they're just having so much fun together. Got a little jealous at how much fun they're having. Almost like it was like this, you know, little private party. And obviously this episode, if you saw it, if you weren't too familiar with the series and you saw this, you'd be like, hey, that was really kind of fun. That's really cool. But as a fan and as, you know, somebody who's watched the series and some of it, many of it, you know, twice, it was like the best gift. It was like the biggest, funnest box wrapped in the geekiest, most insidery bow ever. Everything about it was just super fun. Like, okay. Opening scene. Cold open.
So good. Yeah. So good. And of course, both of those actors have been in, they were both in Millennium playing, and I think X-Files as well, playing kind of stoners who open something. So it was just, the second I saw them, and I love him, I can't think of his name right now, but he's so great. I love him in everything he's in.
And Tyler.
I almost said Durden.
I know.
That really
no,
almost just happened.
That's why.
That's
No. Oh my gosh, I can't even think of his name. But I mean, it's so funny because again, during my rewatch, and it was, you know, many of the earlier episodes, I was like, oh my God, I forgot that they did the same, you know, cold open that, you know, these two stoners were the first ones to discover the little cockroaches that turned out to be mini robots. And then they were the stoners, the first ones to discover the, you know, Loch Ness, the lake monster. Mm-hmm. And it's just hysterical. Like I almost wanted them to, you know, half recognize them.
Right.
But yeah, it just right there. It was just, they just laid it all out. They're like, this is what we're doing. And that was so wonderful. Like, that's when I started texting you.
Yes, yes. And you knew. And it's, there's actually, I'm going to put this out there just a little bit since this is where we are right now. There were a few things on Facebook. And again, I got stuck in a comment hole. And why?
Yeah.
Why would I do that to myself? That's just so silly. But there were a bunch of people some people were commenting about how this was too silly. And like not X-Files, and some of those people were fans. They were fans that had were just really into the mythology episodes and didn't like the kind of lighter episodes very much. And some of them were people who didn't watch the original run.
Right.
And then all these other people are explaining to them, well, actually, you don't. They did this a whole bunch. It wasn't like they only did two funny episodes or two, you know, kind of lighthearted episodes. This happened constantly, more so between seasons 3 and 7.
Yes, yes, totally.
I think once Doggett and Reyes show up, you get like one funny episode. That's the Brady Bunch episode.
Well, yeah, but I mean, and it's like pretty much every season had the same flow of story arc. The season would open with, you know, the mythology stories, and then it would kind of break off into these mystery monster of the weeks. And then some of, yes, as the seasons went on, they got a little lighter, a little funnier, a little bit more like, you know, just wonderful little pieces, little mini movies. It was fantastic. And then they'd end the season with the mythology that would then start the next season.
Right.
So it's a truncated season. They're pretty much doing the same thing.
They are exactly. They're totally following suit in the best way possible. I think it was probably the smartest thing to mm-hmm. do was give fans that kind of equation
yeah.
that everyone is used to. Yeah. There's actually one person in this comment thread. I'm not going to say her name, but she said someone was saying like they went way off track and the first two episodes were great. And like, I don't know what they're doing. I hope they bring the other stuff back because mm-hmm. this is bad. And her response was, this was on track. Like a bullet train. And mm-hmm. then there's a bunch of people underneath there who are listing every mm-hmm. single episode from, right. you know, the original run that is yeah. Jose Chung's From Outer Space. And
yes,
just
yes.
all
oh, and they all,
these.
And it's all kind of referenced back to this. And I think also it's kind of necessary, like it, we almost needed, you know, for Mulder to have this sort of, you know, midlife, mid-career crisis of conscience type of thing. Like, what is it all worth? And she has this whole existential, you know, conversation in his head. And now she has to be the one to drag him back and like, no, this is something. And remember, this was kind of fun. And these are things that are happened. And, you know, no, we can't, you know, not all of them were real. But, you know, this is what we do.
Right. This is weird and unexplained. Let's try to explain it. And yeah. I really think that even looking back, I think Scully had an easier time, despite all of her maybe naysaying during a case.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding and believing things that were like oddities of nature
right.
than these big, huge conspiracies. I think that was yeah. much more interesting to her mm-hmm. as a scientist and whatever else. So I think this was just everything about the way it was delivered
yeah.
was perfect.
Yeah.
And Mulder, you know, at the end, him and Guy Man / Lizard Man Guy.
Oh, I know.
You know, him, the Lizard Man saying, it's such a pleasure to meet you. I think
right.
something like that. And,
right.
and Mulder saying, you too. And his face, again, it was like the ARV moment. He kind of yeah. had that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot that this kind of stuff is out there and it's okay. And it's kind of just normal. Really,
yeah.
it's normal.
Yeah. And this is what we do. And this is why we're here. And okay, so Guy Mann, brilliantly played by Rhys Darby, who, if any of you have seen, I think he's a New Zealand actor, but he was in What We Do in the Shadows, and he's been in like some amazing stuff. I think he was actually one of the characters in Flight of the Conchords as well. So he's just so good, so perfect in this role to kind of be the other side of Mulder's conversation. It's
yes.
like to sort of, you know, he also was pivotal in bringing Mulder back to, oh, this is what I'm, you know, there is purpose in what I do.
Right.
And it's not all for naught.
Right. And I loved how he got Mulder to understand and believe and maybe re-see mm-hmm. that normal is relative.
Mm-hmm.
And to Guy,
oh yeah,
this normal
human's existence
is right. Normal is hanging out, you yeah. know, eating bugs and yeah. looking at the night sky,
yeah. nibbling
normal,
on twigs.
Right, like that is normal. That is somebody's normal.
Yeah, and running like a little girl that has to go to the bathroom.
Oh my God! When at the end, where
how
he
adorable.
Ran into the forest and then like did like a little jump onto the
yeah,
side.
Yes.
Yeah. I spent the entire episode kind of under a blanket because uh-huh. it's been super cold in LA. Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Under a blanket, eating ice cream and just giggling like an idiot. Like
yeah.
the entire time.
Yeah.
I was giggling and I was going, oh yes.
Yeah.
Just my neighbors probably think I'm crazy.
That's
care.
All right. It's
Don't
LA.
Care.
Everybody's
yeah.
a little crazy.
Everyone talks to themselves in LA. It's,
yeah. Exactly. So yeah, so okay, obviously we're talking about the Lizard Man and that's what this you know, little monster of the week vignette is about. So it starts off with, you know, a crazy call from an animal catcher that, no. Was it the woman who was getting attacked? The prostitute who was getting attacked. I think she was the first one to call. And then that's when they meet the animal catcher.
Right. No, the cases, right, with the witnesses, they mm-hmm. don't actually meet them yet, though. They
exactly.
go to see the crime scene mm-hmm. and then they get the call when they're investigating from
yeah.
Shangela, who, if anyone knows Shangela, from RuPaul's Drag Race, and she's done a whole bunch of stuff since then.
Mm-hmm.
And she's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I can't think of her other name, but she's
right.
also she is
right.
an actor that has acted as a man as well, and
mm-hmm.
everything she's in is just, she's
yeah.
really, really great.
I didn't watch that season.
Oh, that was like my favorite season of Drag Race. That's why I was like, oh my God.
DJ Pierce.
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. And I was so happy to
well,
see
Well, I can
her.
Only watch
she's
the episodes
great.
That are on, you know, Amazon or Netflix. So.
Right.
I'm a little beholden to that. So,
anyway.
So yes, super, it just every character that was brought into this was amazing. But okay, the animal catcher, the animal, not the dog catcher, but the, you know, animal protection agency. Yes, animal control.
I think. Yeah.
There you go.
Which was played by Kumail Nanjiani, which is, this is the episode that I've been super excited about. I thought he was adorable. I thought he was great. And I that moment when I realized it was him was awesome.
Yes. See, I did not know that until the end. But he's and I've never seen him before. I've only read about him and mostly in relationship to this. Never listened to his podcast. Never hadn't seen any of his stand-up. So I didn't, you know too much about him. But amazing comic timing. Very dry. Works really well with them. Very comfortable being in this being in this episode, I was like, wow, this is really fun. And okay, so Mulder is showing his age a little bit and trying to learn how to use a phone, use a cell phone camera.
Is there anything cuter than that whole chase scene at like the truck stop with his phone? And his, and that was the cutest little exchange. Well, are you taking video? I don't know.
Go to settings, yes.
Well, where's that?
It's so funny because you think about how different... You know, if the original, you know, first 8-9 seasons had run later, like, I mean, everything would have been different.
It would have been a cell phones, different show.
Cameras. It's like he even joked. He was like, well, what do you mean there are no pictures? Everybody takes pictures these days.
Right.
And it all of it would have changed. So, I mean, yes, obviously in the original run, as they go later and later, you know, obviously cell phones are more prevalent. But like, you know, the first couple of seasons.
Oh, I mean, we're talking, listen, kids, there was a time when you really did have to find a payphone and you really did have to ask the clerk at, you know, the cashier at a motel to use their phone and use the phone in your room. And every room had a phone.
or and then you had a calling card or something like that. Like there was all these different like hoops you had to run through.
You couldn't get a hold of somebody. Like, so like if you were in the middle of something crazy, you couldn't just call.
Yeah, you couldn't, you know, warn them and you couldn't stop them and you couldn't say, oh my God, you know, don't go in that room or something. Yeah. So it has changed a little bit. It does give them that. So I thought it was fun that they kind of addressed, you know, like, oh, look, pictures. I can do this. We're going to have photographic evidence.
And he's when he's putting it in front of her face when she's doing the autopsy. And she's like, oh my God, that is enough.
That was a really, really good scene.
It was. It was cute. And I think that in all of these kinds of interactions, because really Scully wasn't in it a whole bunch. Neither was Mulder. Yeah. I mean, really, especially because they did the whole flashback with Guy. So there really was a lot of time taken up with that. They had only so many interactions between Mulder and Scully.
Right.
But they were... not only adorable, but very, very cute and very... Gillian Anderson had said something about trying to find the character and then trying to find her in an aged way. You know, so many years have passed and they did that so well.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they interact with each other, the way they're interacting with just the world and just kind of how to deal with these kinds of cases now. I mean, really, it's only been, 8 years since the last movie, so it hasn't been a whole really, really long, but 8 years really is a long time. And with the way things advance, and you know, it's just super cute to see them play these characters at this stage in life, dealing with whatever emotional baggage they might be dealing with each other, but really interacting with the world.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like even from like the very start, like one of the first things she says is, "What are you doing to my poster?" It's like, well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, obviously, like in the first episode, the other one got destroyed. So all we can imagine is she's like fully embracing this new adventure. And now she's so she either got him a new one or something like that. So
which speaking of, I think that the scene where they're initially at the crime scene, the first crime scene, and she's kind of reading off stuff from the report, and Mulder is, you know, rolling his eyes and just,
That's so fantastical. It that can't happen.
Great. Yeah. And they played it so well. I don't think either one of, you know, character-wise, I don't think one of the characters is taking it too seriously. He's not definitely saying this is never going to happen, and she's not saying, yes, this happened.
Right.
They're just kind of feeling out the, remembering the fun part of
working together and you know, challenging each other, helping each other and so forth. And that's why it's like that crazy scene, like there were parts I was like, almost felt like I was watching like Twin Peaks or something. Like it got so crazy, but I loved it. It was so much fun. Okay, the motel, the creepy motel from hell,
and the hotel keeper, he had been in other episodes as well.
A handful of them is all different.
Brockman's Repose?
Yeah.
I think he was in.
He has that face. He has that face. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember him. So I did look him up. And
yeah, it's.
Yes.
That scene, that was great. There's so many things that are good about it. And it's like it all happened so quickly. Of course, Mulder finding the little passageway was adorable.
Oh, my God.
The thing you posted, the fox on the fox on fox.
Fox is a fox on fox.
It was almost too meta to deal with.
Like, I know. Well, I almost just wrote fox cubed, but then I was like, no, I feel like I need to be a little bit more.
Right.
I gotta spell it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
But everything about that was so... It was so bizarre and so fun, and yet it was over so fast. Like it moved it along. You knew exactly, like, okay, so this is what it is. And then Mulder coming to, you know, really accept that, oh my gosh, this monster.
It's a monster.
Exists.
Yeah.
And when he goes on his rant and she's like, now that's the Mulder I like.
And she keeps trying to, but yeah. he's talking too fast because he knows she's going to interject and she's trying to interject. And it was just so, so cute. Mm-hmm. And the whole, when they do, when he's talking to the motel guy, mm-hmm. and he is explaining what happened and what he saw. So, you know, first you get Mulder looking through the fox at Dana, mm-hmm. and she is sleeping, and he kind of smiles a little bit like, isn't she cute? And then the motel guy is talking about what he saw,
right.
And then you see Fox in his
his
red mantis, which is also a throwback to the episode Dwayne Barry, I think, when he's swimming, which is I think Krycek's in that episode, but he's wearing the red Speedo things, and it was just great.
Well, and I had read one theory that apparently in every character that he plays, there's something in there to basically hypersexualize him because of his not addiction, I don't know, addiction or whatever. But I just was like, okay, I've not seen him in enough other stuff to know if there's any validity to that. I assumed it really had something to do with the past episode and totally forgotten about that other
one. Yes, yes. There's this, I'm just going to shout this out now, and I'll actually, I think I'll retweet this or I'll post it somewhere, but there's this fantastic article on Den of Geek right now that is really all about just how this episode was so filled with Easter eggs. There's so much. And if you are, and it, again, we were talking about this last week, them being able to kind of address the fandom a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All of the things they did in this episode really does show how much care they've taken in.
And they listen because they know what, you know, what's resonated with the fans. I mean, that's why I said, I'm like, this episode is just a big old box wrapped in a big old ribbon. And thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes.
So much fun, every second of it. Okay, one other thing, though. When he's talking to her, she's like, grinning and nodding and listening to him, and she's like, yep, this is Mulder's back. I'm telling you, the pendant lamp that's hanging behind him in the motel room looks like a flying saucer.
Oh, yes, I noticed that, too.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
I noticed that thanks to Tumblr today, looking at screen grabs, but yes.
Last night, I must have, like, I kept rewinding. I'm like...
Is that?
I mean, it looks like, do you think, it's got to be intentional. It's got to be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was so brilliant. And then, like, even in the beginning of the episode when he's talking about, you know, these things that don't exist. And he's like, yeah, and the jackalope and blah, 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 blah. And then he ends up, you know, holding a giant jackalope.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a jackalope at the turkey farm. And I did not know it wasn't real. It was tiny, though. It wasn't like a big old, like, stuffed teddy bear head. It was
a little dude.
A little jackrabbit with antlers. And I'm like... Well, that's different. I didn't grow up on a farm. I grew up in the city. City makes sense to me. Farm life didn't. So I was like, sure, that probably existed.
Right. This could totally be a thing. Hey, it could.
It could.
It really, really could.
Thank you.
Hey, guy, man, lizard guy. Guy says man. It is a thing.
Exactly.
So.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God, it's so great. I do want to mention... Since we're talking about Easter eggs,
mm-hmm.
Of course, the Kim Manners tombstone.
And Jack Candy.
Yes, which was...
I noticed Kim's name right away.
So great.
I knew him because, obviously, like, directed...
Like every episode. He was a producer, and then he directed so many.
Yeah. And he directed Quagmire, which a lot of this references back to, which was such a beautiful... It was just so beautiful. I got a little, like, choked up about... thinking about all of the things that they did, and mm-hmm. it's like I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so the tombstones.
It was beautiful. It really was. And it was, I think they did such a good job by throwing that knot out in an episode that wasn't super heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Because A seems right for Kim Manners. I think that that seemed extremely appropriate.
Right.
But also, just because had it been a really heavy episode, I think it would have made people sad. And in this case, it made people, from what I can tell from the interwebs, it made people feel real good and just like warm and cozy and good job.
Like they're still there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the other thing too, in another episode, you would not have had that much time to look and read the headstones.
Yeah.
Like I think it would have been, you know, in a more intense episode, there's more dialogue, and like you're not going to have like, you know, a 5-minute monologue in a gravestone with a bottle of whiskey. Like you're just not going to be given that opportunity. And then, you know, again, him, you know, it was sweet. You could tell like the way Mulder, you know, or David paused.
Right. It was very well done. It seemed to be something. I mean, this episode was written by Darren Morgan and Chris Carter, and I believe Darren directed it. So it could have been something one of them had directed him to do, but I do think it was more of a David kind of walking up and just kind of paying a little respect for a moment. And it was, I thought it was beautiful, and I got super verklempt, which was so funny because I was also giggling again for like 40 minutes. I just kind of giggled like an idiot. So it was nice to, as someone who loves the show so much and respects just everything about it, the work and how beautiful it was and everything about it, to kind of almost feel like you were sharing that moment with them.
Right.
I thought was wonderful.
Yes. Yeah. Everything. It was so well done. And I mean, just such a beautiful tribute, because you can think back with, you know, joy and not sadness. On all the gifts that they gave us.
A celebration as opposed to a mourning moment.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought they did wonderfully.
Exactly.
Oh, I got so many notes.
I know.
One of my notes, which was also one of my favorite scenes. I think this entire episode was just filled with favorite scene after favorite scene. Like they kind of just kept getting better and better.
Right.
The psychologist.
Yes.
That was just, and towards the end of the scene, they're talking about the, I think it was clozapine that he had found.
Right.
And Mulder asked him, so you gave him this? He goes, well, what did he say exactly? He seemed pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Like it was just so cute. Like again, they're secondary characters. Mm-hmm. They're guest stars. They're doing such an amazing job.
Oh, yeah. Everything about that. But that was so well done, because on the first watch, I didn't get all of the things that he was actually telling him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just more like, oh, you know, some crazy people who think they're this, they do this, and some crazy people. It's like, no, he's telling him exactly what the guy told him and how he can be, you know, destroyed because he hates his human form. And, you know, then he picks a fight with Mulder in a cemetery, and he's like, yes, you must stab me in the appendix with green glass. And it's like, oh my gosh. And it's so clever.
It was the metaphorical. I mean, you got to remember, Mulder is actually an educated psychologist. That's actually what he is. So to see him sit down and talk to someone who's explaining all the things that he has believed in and thought about for decades.
Oh, yeah. And theorized. And
having this conversation. And Mulder is going, kind of,
does this sound
not
crazy?
Sure if he buys, if he buys the psychologist's, you know, level of sanity, and also not sure what he's supposed to believe about this monster character.
Right.
And then just the reflections of everything that the psychologist is saying, which is kind of about Mulder himself. You hate your inner self. You hate what you
see the monster.
Because Mulder's giving up. He doesn't, this is all crap. This is silly. And I thought it was just super cute. And the way that Mulder reacted to it was just adorable.
Yeah. And the monsters outside are easier to see than the monsters inside. And then when he gives him the prescription at the end, he's like, well, who's crazier, the person who thinks they're a monster or the person who believes that person?
Right. And then Mulder's like, I gotta bounce, I'm out. And I'm done. You're crazy. No matter what, you're crazy. I gotta go. And then the psychologist pops some of the pills.
Yes.
It was just they ended every scene with one of these second, you know, these guest stars. Brilliantly, every scene kind of wrapped up and went, oh, you're adorable.
Yeah.
Oh, that's real cute. Like, it just kept happened.
The pacing was great on it. Again, the only complaint I really heard about this, well, two complaints. The one complaint was, oh my gosh, it's not about the overarching mythology. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay having just like a really fun, you know.
Absolutely.
Candy-coated Christmas present. I'm okay with that. And then the other one is that it's another one of those episodes where Mulder and Scully don't have enough screen time. And I'm like, I'm really okay with it because their time together was spot on and perfect. Mm-hmm. And then their time with the other characters, like seriously, that whole discussion in the cemetery and, you know, Guy Mann is telling him about, you know, how he misses being a simple tree eating, you know, lizard and hibernating for 10,000 years and how, you know, the natural instinct to be a person who's, you know, compelled to wear clothes, compelled to have a job, and then worrying about mortgages and worrying about this stuff. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's really sucky and really stressful. And why do we do this to ourselves?
Right. Well, yeah, the amount of time each one of them had with another character was great because it was necessary. It was necessary for Mulder and Scully on their own to experience these things and be a part of these cases, and I thought they did it really, really well. They didn't show us too much of it, but they showed us just enough to know that they're both kind of getting back and, you know, into the swing of things.
Right.
That whole moment and everything that Guy Mann says.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I had, and I totally posted this on my blog at one point. We had discussed, I don't remember which episode it was, but I said something to you about it, like via chat, and you responded with, you know, and it totally just, this is regarding an old episode,
right?
And it totally just goes to, you know, really explain the evils that man creates and how that's reflected in these other things. So as I was watching the episode, I thought about that, because that whole scene where he's talking about, where they're flashing back to when he's at work,
right?
And he's like, I felt like I had to leave, and he throws he's everything like, and then thinks I can't because I need to do this and I need a mortgage. I don't even know what a mortgage is, but I need this.
I know,
and
I need to be ready for it.
Terrified because I'm not saving for my retirement. It's such a perfect reflection of times now. Not that things have changed so drastically in America in the last 20 years, but they've changed enough to where, really, I mean, that is what we do. That is all we do. Everyone is rushing. We're getting a job because we're supposed to, not because we want it. We're keeping jobs that we don't love and we're not passionate about because we have to, because the pay is so great and we need to get that house and we need to move on and do all these things.
Yeah.
So it was a perfect reflection, again, which they're so, so good at doing, of kind of what's going on right now today.
Reflecting, the current climate.
Big time. I thought it was... Yeah. It was cute, and I loved it. And again, I mean, that actor is just fantastic. But I was also like, oh, man, me too, bro. I get it.
Yeah, we are broken monsters.
Oh, big time. We are the monsters, man.
It's like,
my savings account isn't big enough, and you're right. What about my 401k? Right. And like for like a good like 10 seconds, I went,
I can't do this because I have to get up and go to work in the morning. And I've got to. And he's talking about the clothing, and he's like, "Whose idea was it to put these little nooses on?"
He's so right.
Yeah.
I want to take a brief pause just to say that Jennifer made dinner tonight, and it's starting to smell real, real good in here.
Yum, yum. Yes, it
is. It's my distraction.
I might have to pause and check on it in a minute. So we were taking turns cooking dinner for each other. So
it's a very cute situation we have going on.
I think we should keep this going even after the podcast wraps.
Were you
going
to say what this week was? What's on the menu tonight, Jennifer?
Vegan vegetable pot pie. Oh yeah. All the good stuff.
It smells so good. I'm really
jam packed with veggies.
Oh,
I was actually pretty impressed with myself last night. I tried a little bit of it. So. It
smells so good.
well, thank you.
And actually, I went grocery shopping this week, and I was on the phone with my mother, and I was kind of trying to figure out my week and plan all my meals because that's what you're supposed to do, right?
You're
a grown up, and like, that's
what
you do. And you have to go grocery shopping, blah. And I realized, I think it's Jen's turn to make dinner on Tuesday. Ooh, I wonder what's for dinner. I got so excited. This was like 3 days ago.
Well, so far we're on a pretty good streak. I think like by the last week we're going to be like pizza.
Oh, totally.
This is going to be like, screw this. I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to mention talking about Guy Mann, and there's that whole character, which again was just so great.
Yes.
The Kolchak reference. So love Kolchak the Night Stalker.
How amazing. I'm kind of annoyed because I kept looking and I kept doing that, head tilt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Why? Darn it. And I had to look it up.
Yeah, I think it was both Chris Carter and Darren Morgan who had said years ago, and especially when the show started, mm-hmm. that they were both fans of that kind of Monster of the Week.
And it totally series. Makes sense. Yeah, it's like, of course, this right. was the inspiration. I mean, and of course, this was the natural progression.
All poor Kolchak did, and no one believed him, and it was just him out there by himself at night. And
crazy guy with the hat and the jacket.
Yeah, and his camera with his bulb.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I had seen a few screen grabs from this like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I was trying to stay away from it, but I couldn't help it. I saw that and I went, oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Because this is coming and good for them for doing this. This is almost because of that past and that inspiration that they both had. It's right. almost like an Easter egg just for them. Unless you're a super hardcore X-File, you probably wouldn't know that unless you had read old interviews.
Yeah.
And they might have said something about it in that Fox thing they did before mm-hmm. the new series started. But
they actually didn't, because I did watch it.
Okay.
I did watch it. It would have only given away a little bit about this episode. I saw a little bit of the creature concept and some of the makeup application. But it is good. I think I don't have it on my DVR anymore, but you should try to find it.
I might still have it. Yeah. I have been saving everything that recorded. It's very quick
and super fun. And anything that would have been spoiled would have been up to this point. So
right, and we could watch Skinner. We can watch Mitch Pileggi talk about things.
Yeah.
Uh huh. My mom actually just listened to that podcast.
Oh my gosh!
In her car on the way home, she says hi, by the way.
Oh, hi.
And she felt like it was just so cute because it was like the three of us were just sitting down talking Aww. About the X-Files. It was adorable.
That's awesome. Did she talk back to us?
She probably does. I didn't ask her, but like I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so we should just pause right now and just go,
Oh.
Good one, Vanessa.
Yep.
Totally missed that. Thank you.
You are super right. Yay. Yeah. Oh my God.
No mom's involved.
No.
Oh, welcome. God.
Sorry,
we're getting a little silly here.
Right.
But it's a silly episode and it's super, super fun. Okay. The monster, hysterical. Again. The fact that we, in essence, are the monsters, and his simple berry-eating, twig-eating little life is so much more desirable than ours.
He seems so happy.
I know.
That poor dude.
I know.
And he got bitten by the by the guy.
Yeah. And for not being a fan of, you know, the guy in the rubber suit,
mm-hmm.
specifically you, the ring, not the ring, circle. No, what was that? Oh, what was that? M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh, geez. Don't even ask me. I can't handle it. Oh, my.
Yeah. Okay. I was, that one, I was like, okay, I'm done.
I'm done with dudes and suits.
Yeah. I usually don't like it. However, it could not have worked more perfectly.
And they did a great job. And I love that. I mean, of course, they did a lot of CG when it came to actually transforming.
Exactly.
But the suit itself was.
Oh, yeah.
I like, because X-Files does great practical work. They always have.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they're totally holding onto that. It looked amazing.
And you'll see in that, you know, preview half-hour special mm-hmm. thing, if you see they actually constructed the pieces and had them fully painted so that it wouldn't take, you know, 6 hours to apply makeup every time. They could actually put it on like a suit, and it was so well done. And he was just so cute. He was like, he gets all aghast. He's like, three eyes? But no, that's what I look like.
But no, that is.
That's exactly what I look like.
That's pretty true.
Yeah,
it was
pretty great.
Everything about all the interactions were fantastic. Yeah. I loved when his little fantasy moment
went
with him and Scully.
And
a lot of fans today were saying, you know, but they gave us this, but they didn't give it to us the way we
wanted.
Yeah,
we wanted it with Mulder. Right.
Scully. Listen, they just gave you Scully's boobies, okay? Looking a fantastic
mm-hmm.
and this cute, I mean, mm-hmm. they just gave you something that was just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Take it, because that's great. And then Mulder, stop. That did not happen. It was just so cute.
And it was like not even like half a second. Like, no, that didn't happen.
And he totally did that, you know, chivalrous. Stop it.
Yeah.
you
are not lying. Talk about her like that.
And then when she's talking to him and they bring up Queequeg, which is so funny because Dagoo is also a character.
I know. Okay.
Oh, so good.
All right. Confession time. Yes. I had to look that one up too. But I knew like something, the way he kept saying that. And then when she went to adopt him, oh my God, not even adopt. She just like looks over her shoulder and she's like, Oh, yeah, you'll come with me.
Yeah, straight up stole a puppy. Yeah.
But, I mean,
I love you, Scully.
Yeah, good on you. But then again, she did steal him from a real monster.
Exactly. And where were they going to go from there?
Right.
Right to the shelter.
Yeah.
I mean, she...
The bad shelter. Not the good shelter.
The bad shelter. Exactly.
So...
And when it bit her and she smiled, it was just, she's so cute. And then she takes home the dog that bit her.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a metaphor, if
kind
you think about
it. Kind of what we all do. We're all broken.
Deep thoughts. But
okay. So the animal rescue guy... So he likes to bite people, and if he bites a giant lizard man, the lizard man becomes a person. So is he a were-person?
I
mean, I don't need these answers, but I'm just curious. Like,
I partially kind of, I think, this was my takeaway. Again, they didn't explain it, and I don't need an explanation. But my takeaway was... He was just a person who had a fetish, a drive to eat human flesh,
right?
Which is also kind of a Hannibal nod, right? Oh, I just went there.
So good.
But he, I think, just the fact that he had bitten this monster guy, it had that effect on the guy specifically,
right?
But it was just
like he doesn't have that power to turn anybody else. But it, I mean, he does say. You know, very dryly, very matter of fact. Well, since I was a young kid, I always wanted to hurt animals, and
then he says he has a whole speech prepared, and they don't care because
I know they're just calling like, yeah, it doesn't matter anymore.
Seen them all.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of funny. Like, again, I don't need to know like exactly why, but I was like, and yeah, then he so then he becomes the animal again. We're the monsters.
Exactly. It was great. It was fun. It was everything it needed to be. It was definitely everything they needed after those first two episodes, which were kind of heavy. It was everything the characters need at that moment. It was everything the fans needed at this moment. It was.
And it is pivotal. Like it does have something to do, because if Mulder's going to have like a crisis of faith, he needs to get that in check, because I don't know if you saw the trailer for next week. It looks intense.
Yeah.
It looks terrifying. But, okay, so before we just, like, move on, any other Easter eggs that jump out you can think of?
Well, yeah, there were so many. Of course, when his phone rang when he was in the cemetery and it was the X-Files
was
theme
that?
Song, I just about burst into, like, little bits of green glitter. I was so excited, which is so silly and stupid, but I was giddy. With just all the things. I thought it was super cute. There's the immortal thing she says at the end.
Yes, I was going to say that one.
Oh, I feel like there's more. Totally not more.
She says, I'm immortal. Wink.
Right. Like,
seriously.
Which is kind of a actual nod back to a couple of episodes, but Bad Blood and other things.
And then mostly just the fan, you know, hypotheses.
Well, right.
And all, we've got that going.
And they all, I mean, how many times have they mostly died and then not?
Maybe sort of died and then weren't.
Right.
And again, I'm okay with not knowing the exact answer, but yeah, just knowing that is a thing and that's a possibility. Oh, I can't think of any. Nothing else is jumping out at me.
Yeah, I think we covered most of it.
Yeah.
There's actually, I did mention, Den of Geek, which I did mention, they do have the article they have up is really quite a bit about Kim Manners in general.
Oh, okay.
And it's a beautiful article.
Yeah.
They actually have a bunch of quotes that the cast and crew said about Kim in the last season of shooting the original run.
Wow.
And there's actually a little video. It's a fantastic article. It has all kinds of great stuff in it. And it actually has a link to this original interview that was done so many years ago that's actually on like the internet archives, like it's old, it's very rare. So check that out. I will post a link for that. But TV Line, which I don't know anything about TV Line. I don't want to like endorse a website that might suck, but they seem pretty okay. They are running, it looks like every week, the Easter eggs that have popped up. So they have a whole list too.
That's fun. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's just like a gallery for every episode. That's kind of what has popped up.
Right.
But I do think we covered everything. I think, let us know if we missed something.
Right. Oh, absolutely. No, I'm sure there's something. I'm sure there's something that we missed. And so, yeah, as you mentioned, this was a nice breather episode because, again, the preview for next week looks really intense.
It does.
Next week's episode is called Home Again. I try not to, you know, read too much about it. Yeah. I like to be surprised, but it did have kind of almost like a horror film feel to it.
Very dark, and which is actually interesting. That was something I wanted to mention really briefly. Mm-hmm. I think I'm having a little bit of trouble taking in the new episodes, and one of the reasons that maybe they feel a little off to me is because everything is so crisp and clean and clear on the digital with the HD and everything else. And, you know, so many years ago, we didn't know we were looking at something that was kind of fuzzy and kind of, now you watch it and you realize, oh, that is a little grainy. And it's just like watching Poltergeist. Like, you see the major difference.
Right.
But everything is so clear. I almost feel like the shadows aren't shadowy enough. So this whole show as a whole doesn't feel as dark to me. Like the monster last night, he was so clear.
He's and you so could see vibrant. Every part of him.
And I think the next week's episode actually does look very, very dark. Darker, so I'm grainier. Excited.
Yeah. My DVR cut off partway through, which was for the best because usually I try to fast forward that. But then I'm like seeing them and I'm like, oh, I can't turn away.
Well, yeah, I want to keep watching. Right.
Right. So obviously we're really excited about it. And so anything else for this week?
I don't think so. Other than I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I feel so great.
It's been a real, I'm not going to say pleasant surprise. It's been so fun and so rewarding and just such a treat to have new adventures with these characters and to know that so much care and thought and time is put into making, you know, again, a very brief season just absolutely perfect for us. So
yes, and so put thrilled. In by everybody involved, including Chris Carter, guys, lay off.
Oh, is he still getting the...
It never ends.
Yeah, I don't read the internet.
I know, I should stay away. Which
the internet
is not good for you.
It's not good for you, exactly. these are words to live by. Okay, well here... You can find us on iTunes at Mulder It's Us and X-Files Podcast, Twitter at Mulder It's Us, on Candy's website, Candy Presents, and our email is MulderIt'sUsPodcast@gmail.com. So if you have any, you know, any Easter eggs that we've missed, anything that you're really excited about, anything you think we're crazy for liking, just let us know. And then you can also follow each of us on Twitter, Candy at Candy Presents, and myself at Jenny B. Creative. And for the Mulder It's Us podcast, I've been Jen.
I've been Candy.
See you next week.